Good morning. Well, today is Sunday, December 16th, 2018. We're quickly closing in on 2019, aren't we? Well, last Sunday we didn't have a teaching here at the chapel, but rather we spent the day in preparation for a Christmas party. We had 30 adults and 6 children from the community, and the time together was just very, very sweet. Also last Sunday, there was an article in the South Bend Tribune about our Love Thy Neighbor Memory Garden that was dedicated the second weekend in October. One of the women who attended the dedication is a writer for the Sunday paper, and she just covers local stories, or rather stories about local people doing things in their bucket list, or stories of human interest and that just kind of bring about a cheerful or a positive message. She's very interesting to read. And today when we send out the link for the teaching, we'll include the link for all of you, and you can click on it and read the little article. So in our considerations for teaching topics for 2019, we do welcome your thoughts to support the process. There's nothing more appealing to Larry and I any day of the week than to sit and visit with beloved ones, whether it's by phone, whether it's back and forth on a text for a few minutes, or if that's too long of a process and there's too much to say, an email perhaps. But we do want to remind those of you who aren't close enough to chat with face-to-face that you are always more than welcome to call us and have a conversation, email or text, because we have one policy, and that is we are never too busy to hear from any of you. Well, we were kind of thinking that today's teaching would complete the series on getting understanding, but as we were fellowshipping before we actually started the fellowship today, Larry piped up that he may have one more aspect of this that he wants to cover. So this is going to be part 6. Maybe we're thinking there'll be a part 7. So, but hopefully these biblical records in Scripture have increased our mindfulness of how important it is to get understanding. We earnestly desire understanding, and even more, we want to keep it. We saw from that record in Solomon that it's not a always and forever deal because it can deteriorate. But we earnestly desire understanding and we want to keep it. Knowledge, instruction, wisdom, understanding, they're all familiar words when we read the scriptures. So to have a deeper understanding of those is really a wonderful thing. God's word is always the same. His tenets do not change one iota. But each of us in the body of Christ is unique. So unique that the scriptures teach us that God created his spirit within each of us. So if indeed that is true, then everyone has a custom-tailored spirit, and I think we've covered the uniqueness of that in prior teachings throughout the summer, since May of last year, or of this year. So, you know, we want to remain around the truths from God's Word that lead us to see more and more clearly our individual potential. Like, that can be shared. That can be taught about, but we want to see our individual potential in Christ. We want to flourish and be fruitful in our fellowship and relationship with our Heavenly Father and in the body of Christ. So the life and service of each and every born-again individual is precious to God. So you think, what am I supposed to do? What is my calling your calling is to serve in the one body. Every person is unique. Every person, you're not looking and searching for that one thing that you can do in the body of Christ. You are the thing in the body of Christ. Just live. It's God's spirit created in you the way you're made, the way you think, the way you work. That's what we hope to lead you to. The realization that it is God in Christ at work within each one of you. You're not looking for a niche. You're not looking for this special little thing that you can do. Live. Live who you are. Be true to who you are in Christ. And that is what we are all supposed to do. Now, do we teach? Yes, we do. Do we sweep the floor? Yes, we do. Guess who vacuumed this morning? I'm teaching, Larry vacuumed. We're going to eat later. Guess who cooked? I did. You know, it's not, we don't have this one thing that we do. We just jump in and we do what needs to be done in order to do what we do. So our theme verse for this series on getting understanding has been sort of based around Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. In a brief summary of parts 1-5, I know last week I took a little more time to enumerate the things from each particular part, but in brief summation, we recognize that the condition of the heart of the mind, this place deep in our mind that is called the heart, where we have, where we make what we really are, is tremendously vital, that we know. And why? Because it controls everything, every aspect of navigating our way in life. Every facet of our life is determined and set by that place in the heart of our mind. So to understand, you can see why the word would say, with all you're getting, get understanding. We saw from the life of Solomon that our heart can be changed. Here he was, wonderful hearted man, desired to have the understanding of God, and God gave it to him. But then he changed his mental diet, and he became malnourished. And his malnutrition showed up very quickly. So a change in our mental diet can be for the good or for the evil. God gave humankind the freedom of will to choose. We can eat whatever we want, whatever we want. God will still love us. But you know what? We won't be choosing life, and we won't receive blessings. There's no demand to love him back. It's all free will. And isn't that gratifying? Don't you love it when you know that you haven't solicited anyone to do anything for you, and then somebody does something for you? It just makes you feel, it's a kind of a signet of authenticity. That their love for you is genuine. They aren't trying to please you, or they're not thinking, well, that's what you want them to do. The things that are most precious day to day in our lives is when our realm of friends, our realm of neighbors, co-workers, family members, that they do things not because they think we're on the verge of screaming, but because they want to do those things for us. They're free to do that. So we are free to choose, and when we choose life, we, in essence, choose blessings. So, a little further, the adversary will always be tempting people to sin, and there is no sin in being tempted. Jesus was tempted. Did he sin? No. It wasn't a sin that he was tempted. It doesn't mean that we're weak because we're tempted. there is victory in overcoming the temptation and standing on the word that we have systematically tucked away in our hearts. And God has promised us a way. Larry covered that so carefully. God has promised us a way to escape every temptation. And I love it because so much of the scripture is actually dedicated on how to live a life that might be above reproach. I mean, Jesus Christ is our perfect example. He walked it perfectly, and he is our example. The church epistles give us detailed instruction on the subjects we need to understand. We went through that last week, our position in his kingdom, the hope of his calling, the functioning within the one body of Christ, and ultimately to understand what the will of the Lord is so that we can what? Do it. Do it so that we can do it. So concerning understanding, I want to kind of focus on a verse today in Proverbs 16. In verse 22, it says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Now, understanding, over the weeks, we've kind of worked out a definition, if you will, from all the different aspects that we've covered. And I want to just take this first word here, understanding. It is a word that references insight, perception. It is the ability to discern the true nature of a situation. You can always have the facts about a problem, an incident, a situation, but understanding sees what is at the center of the matter. Facts are information, but facts could mislead you and derail matters of the heart. I think back of the record Larry covered with Joseph. How does he explain what happened that day? Here this woman is lying to him. Now, was it a fact that she had his coat? Was it a fact that Joseph came into the house and nobody was there? But you see how bad that looks? So she just links together all these things and makes up her own story. So, you know, facts can derail the matters of the heart because we know from the scripture that's not at all how it went down. I mean, he fled for his safety. He fled from her. But in every successful relationship, biblical understanding is paramount. Seeing into the heart of a matter, it kind of allows us the spiritual composure, the spiritual confidence to actually be free, to be generous with God's love, to forgive people, to be selfless in our service because we aren't thinking about our needs. We aren't thinking about what I've got to get. We're not thinking about all the things that can weigh one down in life, but we're thinking about, I've got all this. What can I give? How can I impart to this person even a portion of the life I'm blessed to live? How can we get through to this person even a portion of what we understand of or know of God, of his love, of his all he's invested in our lives? Understanding is kind of, quote unquote, the eyes of God. Understanding is like the eyes of God, which sees to the heart of a person or issue. Now, some people might say, now you're talking about revelation. No, I'm not. I'm talking about understanding. It's not to be confused with God giving you specific information about this or that. This is understanding the fiber and subjects in the Word, to the point that you are able to, with the word of God, discern. You know, some things just aren't possible to be the way they seem to be because the facts don't line up with the truth of the word. Understanding is what navigates that field so that you're not left feeling wanting or you don't have enough knowledge. or whatever you might be feeling. So the eyes of understanding see the facts of the situation. They see the appearances that are there. Yet, understanding sees beyond the facts to reveal the crux of the matter, the crux of the issue. And all that is done by your knowledge, your wisdom of the word. Those things culminate into this package of understanding. Spiritual understanding is an accurate discernment. Think of Solomon, and we didn't cover this part of the record, but think of those women that came to Solomon with the baby. It's mine. No, it's mine. And he just stood there and he knew how to discern. He knew how to flush the truth out of those facts. One lady's facts, it's mine. The other lady's facts, no, it's not, it's mine. And she went into detail how it all happened. And, you know, most people would stand there and rub their beard and want to know, gee, what do I do? But God worked within him. He had understanding. I know how I'm going to figure this out. We'll just cut the baby in half. Did he have an intention to cut the baby in half? No. But boy, he knew that the heart of a mother would not let her baby be cut in half. I mean, you can even listen to news stories and know who done it if you have a heart of understanding. And the police might never uncover the real culprit. But sometimes when people say, oh, I didn't do this, please bring my babies back home, and you know the things that they didn't do at the moment, you can know. You can see through those things. There is a Christian song right now that's sort of popular by Brandon Heath, and the lyrics go, give me your eyes for just one second. He's singing to God. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything I keep missing. Isn't that great? Give me your eyes. Don't you sometimes feel that way? God, give me your eyes so I can see just for even a second. I loved the heart of the song. The rest of the song I don't too much understand, but I love the chorus. So, you know, the biggest thing to understand about understanding is that one cannot give understanding to another. You can talk about it. You can read verses together. You can share on it. But one cannot give you understanding. Paul understood this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee what? Understanding in all things. So who gives the understanding?
The Lord.
Yes. Now, Solomon asked for it. The Lord gave it to him and plenty more. But now we have Christ in us. We have the gift of Holy Spirit that is dwelling. It's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we already have understanding as part of that package. So God is going to work through that communication channel that is within us to give us his eyes. We do have his eyes. We have the mind of Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is one reason, I think, kind of since the beginning of Beloved of God Ministries, and a lot of people have thought it was strange, but Larry has always taught, when he teaches things, he said, it's for your consideration. Here, I'm going to lay this out for you, and it's for your consideration. So it's there. It's out on the table. It's there. I've done a lot of thinking about it. I've pieced it together. But he's not going to give anybody understanding. It's not his job in the body of Christ. And the thing we so want you to see is that understanding is within you. you know, we listen, we hear, we chew, we swallow, then the digestion begins and the meal becomes a part of our bodies. No surgeon or scientist could ever find or recover a single piece of food because it has now become a part of you. It's a part of you. And I want to read a paragraph from Larry's article. I think it's on Faith Writers. It might also be on the website, but it's an article on communion called Digesting the Bread of Life. So it goes, so it is with eating and digesting scripture. These very terms are used today in assimilating knowledge. We refer to thinking over a point as chewing on it. We're going to chew on it. Understanding a written work may be referred to as digesting it. Perhaps when enjoying a novel, one might say they are savoring every word, or at least it is food for thought. These terms communicate that whatever you have read or heard affected you and joined your repertoire of thoughts, concepts, logics, and maybe even beliefs. We can clearly see God's desire that his words become a very part of each of us so that we live out his will. Now, wrapped up in all of that would be knowledge, wisdom, instruction, knowledge, instruction, wisdom, understanding. It just kind of brings those to life. It is a common practice to remain inactive following a large meal and to allow for digestion and assimilation of our food. You know, I mean, we just finished Thanksgiving Day. What does everybody want to go do? Sit down and take a nap. And I just recently read this year that it has nothing to do with all that stuff that's in the turkey. It comes from overeating. You just want to lay down and go to sleep. So let's think about that verse that talks about being still in Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. It says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Well, the word for be still is a Hebrew word that means refrain, forsake, relax, abandon, let it go, be quiet. Literally, it means to leave off your own attempts. That's what be still means. Quit trying to do it yourself. And then we're to know. Kind of makes us think of Proverbs 3:5, that beautiful exhortation and instruction that we are not, kind of a warning, we are not to lean to our own understanding. The word know is a word that is often used regarding the will. Will, and we know we have free will, meaning to turn the mind to something to care for or to see about. So we are to leave off trying to get our own understanding. Just be still, forsake all that, and know, turn your mind to something, care for something. Well, what would we want to turn our mind to? What would we want to care about? Certainly the things of God. And we're to know, God says, that I am God. That's the word Elohim. And it is speaking of the one true God, the Creator. And he says, I will be exalted. And that word for I will be exalted, it means to cause to grow. It is used talking about bringing up children. So to cause to grow, to develop, to place anyone in a high and safe place, to bestow honor upon someone of low estate, to exalt as a victor, to elevate. That's what that means when God says, I will be exalted. It's a word that means he will actually do that for us. If we will be still and we will turn our care to Elohim, he will exalt us to the place he considers proper. That's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. Among the heathens just means among a people. You know, in the earth, because the word is, that section is repeated, the earth just refers to inhabitants. So whoever, Jew, Gentile, Church of God, whoever, I think about that woman in the Gospels that came looking for a crumb. You can't defeat the word of God. She wasn't who she needed to be to receive anything from Jesus. But she just wanted a crumb. And she made her case, and she walked away exalted as a victor. Her daughter was made whole that very hour. She was freed. So I don't care what the facts are. You are not, you know, when we do what God prescribes us to do, we are only going to do one thing, and that is absolutely win. Absolutely win. So if there is any category at all where you are not winning, God wants you to win. God wants you to win. So when we forsake our own attempts to understand life and turn our minds to care for the will of God, we will grow because he's the one that causes it. He will elevate us. He will exalt us as victors. He will increase our power. And that's, of course, speaking to the utilization of it. We all have it in the same amount spiritually. So it goes on in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. And of course, he's in us for the church. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So we're talking about the Lord of the whole creation is with us. He is our refuge, our high place, our retreat. So back in Proverbs 16:22, we'll continue on about understanding. It says understanding, this discernment, this ability to have the eyes of God into situations. It is a wellspring of life to them that have it. And that word wellspring refers to a fountain, a source. It refers to a source of life, joy, purification. But a wellspring is not just a puddle that's going to dry up. It's, what does it say in Hosea, that cistern that has a hole in it. It's not going to leak out. This is a source. It's not where you took water from the faucet and you put it in a gallon bucket, you know. This is a source, a well up out of the source. And it is, understanding is our source. It is a wellspring of life. And it says in Proverbs 14, back a couple chapters in verse 27, it says the fear, the respect, the love, the honor, first and great commandment, loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That's what's going to tap it. To depart from the snares of death. So there is much, much more to the word wellspring than what we're going to cover today. And we're actually thinking at some point in 2019, that's going to be a good topic to get into. But understanding is a wellspring of life, and it's a wellspring of life to them that have it. And remember, it said, with all thy getting, get understanding. And a few teachings ago, we talked about how getting understanding actually was the purchase or the acquisition. With all thy getting, with all thy ability to acquisition, with all thy ability to purchase, with all thy substance to go out and get it, get understanding. With all thy getting, everything in my life wants understanding. And I am going to seize it. I'm going to do what God says, that He will guarantee this understanding that is within me to blossom and to take hold. So we acquisition it for ourselves. And we do that by choosing life. We choose the things of God. That is our investment. With our whole life, we choose the things of God. With our hearts, we purchase understanding. We procure understanding with our hearts. So, our exhortation for the new year would be, slow down. Breathe in and breathe out. Praying in your understanding. Take time to pray by yourselves, together with someone else. Pray in your understanding. Hear your own words. And let the devil hear you. Your adoration, your love, your commitment, your praise of God. Let those words enter into the senses realm. Fill your home with prayer in your understanding. And, of course, pray in the Spirit. Because what does praying in the Spirit do for the Spirit that's within you? It builds it up. It builds it up. Right back to what, Jude? Building yourselves up. Yeah. So, you know, pray in the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God within you to softly vibrate. Remember last time we talked about making melody? And how that was picking up the string of a harp and letting it go, and it just resonates and vibrates. So allow the Spirit of God within you to softly vibrate on the strings of your heart and awaken the understanding heart that you already have within the mind of Christ. So I want to close with two scriptures out of Colossians. This was the Apostle Paul's heart for the beloved ones, so it behooves us to have the same heart. Apostle Paul thought some great things, so it's wise for us to look at things the way he looked at things. It's wise for us to look at things the way Jesus looked at things. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was Paul's prayer for the beloved. Wouldn't that be your prayer for the beloved? Wouldn't that be my prayer for the beloved? And then in Colossians 2:2, it says that the heart, that their hearts, or that your hearts, might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So that's it for today. It looks like we're going to have a part 7, so hang in there. We love you so much. Have a great week. God bless.